I want you to realize that we're dealing with the sin of two people, a married couple named Ananias and Sapphira. Chapter 4 closes with Barnabas and others selling lands and possessions and giving the proceeds of the sales to the apostles to meet the needs of the believers. It did not take long for someone to notice the esteem with which those who did this were held by others, and to crave this esteem without costing them so much. So Ananias and Sapphira sold a possession and gave part of the proceeds while claiming to have given all of the proceeds. But Peter was not fooled. After being rebuked by Peter for lying to God the Holy Spirit, Ananias fell down dead and was immediately buried. 3 hours later, Sapphira also lied about the price of the land they sold, was rebuked by Peter, died, and was buried, with the result that great fear came on everyone who heard these things. We read in Acts chapter 5, verses 1 through 11, "But a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Whiles it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. And great fear came on all them that heard these things. And young men arose, wound him up, and carried him out and buried him. And it was about the space of 3 hours after, when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. And Peter answered unto her, tell me whether ye sold the land for so much. And she said, yea, for so much. Then Peter said unto her, how is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door, and shall carry thee out. Then fell she down straightway at his feet and yielded up the ghost. And the young men came in and found her dead, and carrying her forth, buried her by her husband. And great fear came upon all the church and upon as many as heard these things." Although I have already taught verses 1 through 3 in our last message, I will go over them again somewhat in this message for review. Besides, it's been 2 weeks, and most of you probably can't remember what you did yesterday, let alone what was going on in your life 2 weeks ago, since there was a snowstorm that we experienced here in the meanwhile. In Acts chapter 5 and verse 1, we read, "But a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession. Although some sold their houses and lands and gave all the proceeds from the sale to the apostles for distribution to the saints, it did not take long for someone to sell something and pretend to give all the proceeds to the apostles, but to keep some of the proceeds for himself." As translated, "but" introduces a statement in mild contrast to what Barnabas and others had done at the end of chapter 4. A certain man named Ananias is a certain one or someone or somebody by name Ananias. With Sapphira, his wife, suggests that they were both involved in this transaction. Sold a possession could mean that he sold anything he owned. The possession is clarified in verses 3 and 8 as a field or piece of land. Verse 2 indicates that Ananias, with Sapphira's knowledge, brought part of the proceeds from the sale of his property to the apostles, while claiming that he gave all of the proceeds and kept back part of the price. His wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet and kept back part of the price, is he put aside for himself from the price he received for selling the possession. Part has been supplied by the translators to aid the understanding of the English reader. His wife refers to Ananias' wife, meaning to Sapphira. Also being privy to it is his wife also having been made aware of it, or having perceived it, or his wife also being aware of it or having perceived or perceiving it. Also suggests, in addition to Ananias, it might instead be understood in the emphatic sense of indeed, in fact, yea, verily, or certainly, indeed, being privy to it. Being privy suggests that its action occurred before the action of kept back, and it indicates that it was an existing state of being. Being privy is used in conjunction with kept back. It is an existing state of being. He knew what he was doing, and it was done at the time Ananias kept back some of the proceeds. It's understood in the sense of, and his wife was also made aware of it, also was aware of it, also had perceived it, or also was perceiving it. It refers to Ananias selling some property, giving some of the proceeds from the sale to the church, and keeping a part of the proceeds, but claiming to have given all the proceeds to the church. Ananias withheld some of the proceeds from the sale of his property, and Sapphira knew it. And from the consequence of her action, it appears that she had also approved of it. And brought is used in conjunction with laid, and its tense indicates that its action occurred before the action of laid. He brought it before he laid it at the apostles' feet. A certain part is some part or some portion, in contrast to the whole. The percentage of the proceeds he brought is not indicated, except that it was less than 100% of the proceeds from the sale. He laid it at the apostles' feet indicates that the gift of money was put or placed at the feet of the apostles, which means that it was made available for them to use to meet the needs of various people within the congregation. Verse 3 indicates that Peter somehow perceived, maybe by direct revelation from the Holy Spirit, what Ananias had done. But Peter said, "Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land?" What Peter said is found in the rest of verse 3 and all of verse 4. "Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart Why suggests? Because of what reason, or on account of what reason hath Satan filled, or did Satan fill? Satan, remember, is the devil himself. Thine heart, where thine is your... Remember now, sometimes we have a problem remembering in modern English the these and the thous and the thys and the thines and the ye in Greek and in Hebrew and in English, I guess, in the King James translation. Let me just give you a simple explanation in case you're not aware of it. If it starts with T, thee, thou, thy, thine, it's you singular. If it starts with Y, ye, you, your, it is you plural. And it does make a difference in some contexts. Why hath Satan filled thine heart? Your heart, Ananias, and it's an example of a part being used to represent the whole. It is understood in the same sense as if he had said, why has Satan filled you? His heart is representing himself. Does filled suggest that Satan had taken possession of Ananias, suggesting that Ananias was actually unsaved and controlled by Satan? Well, that's possible, but at the very least, it means that Ananias was influenced by Satan. It's the same term translated filled in Ephesians 5:18, which says, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, that means not wherein is too much, but wherein is profligacy or immoral living, and be filled, meaning controlled with or by the Holy Spirit. And it brings into question whether Ananias had ever been genuinely saved. It is not clear if Ananias as well as Sapphira had been genuinely saved. Remember, when I'm talking about being saved, I'm talking about, remember, Jesus Christ died on the cross, shedding his blood there to pay for all of our sins, my sins and your sins and everybody else's sins. And God raised him from the dead and thereby demonstrated that he had accepted Jesus' sacrifice on the cross in payment for our sins, which means he approved of it. Jesus rose again from the dead, and if I or you or anybody else will believe that message, that Jesus died on the cross to pay for our sins, if we'll believe that, and that God raised him from the dead, if we'll believe that also, God will forgive our sins and promise that when we die, which will probably happen one of these days, that we'll go to heaven rather than to hell, the lake of fire. If you're not sure about your salvation, we can help you with that. I'd be glad to sit down and discuss it with you. But it brings into question whether Ananias had ever been genuinely saved. And here we say this, it is not clear as if Ananias as well as Sapphira had been genuinely saved. What is clear, there's three things that are clear. What is clear is that if he was saved, he was a disobedient believer who forfeited his life because of his sin, but he will still go to heaven. What is also clear is that he did not lose his salvation on this day. For you see, if somebody has ever been genuinely saved, he'll never lose that. There's a third thing that is also clear, that if he was not saved, he did not get saved on this day before he died, and he will spend eternity in the lake of fire. Which one is true? And the answer is, we don't know. We're curious, but we don't know. Was he genuinely saved and just a disobedient believer who forfeited his life? Well, he didn't lose his salvation this day because you can't do that. If he was not saved, he did not get saved before he died. And he will spend eternity in the lake of fire. And whether he was saved or unsaved cannot be determined from this text. Only the Lord knows for certain. And the same can be said for Sapphira, who's going to die in just a few verses. It must be remembered that the Lord seeth not as man seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. To me, I'm this writer that's writing this, the consequence of their sin in dying on this day suggests that they had been genuinely saved and were disobedient believers rather than that they were unbelievers. But nobody knows that for certain. That's my opinion. It seems that God was sending a message to the rest of the believers that he was not pleased with what these two had done, and it does not seem fitting for unsaved people. As a result, great fear came upon all the church. To lie to the Holy Ghost is that you lied to the Holy Spirit, who knows the truth. He's omniscient. And connects to keep back with to lie. It's literally that you lied and kept back part of the price of the land, meaning some from the price of the land or field. The land, in this verse, makes it clear that the possession in verse 1 was a field or piece of land other than land in a populated area. It would have a different Greek word if it were a land in a populated area. We move on to chapter 5 and verse 4, which is new to us this morning. Peter's question, begun in verse 3, is concluded in verse 4. Whiles it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. Whiles it remained, where it refers to the land Ananias sold, is used in conjunction with the word translated was. And its tense indicates that its action was ongoing and occurring at the same time as the action represented by the word translated was. Remained suggests continued in the same state, meaning continued unsold. He still owned that property. He chose to sell it. He could have sold it for whatever price. We don't know what he sold it for. But when he sold it, it was his money. He could do with it what he wanted. He didn't have to give a penny of it. Now, a penny wouldn't be good Aramaic there, all right? We understand that's a different form of currency. Wouldn't have had to give him a dime. It was his. He could do with it what he wanted. Was it not thine own? Was it not remaining yours? The question expects the positive answer. Yes, it was. Was is the same word translated while it remained. And its tense denotes continuing action in past time in the sense of was remaining. It again suggests continuing in the same state as being yours rather than being someone else's. Peter asked Ananias a second question introduced by and, which is, after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? after it was sold, where it refers to the land Ananias sold, is used in conjunction with was. And its tense indicates that its action occurred before the time represented by was. The idea of the question expecting a positive answer is carried over from the first question. The implied answer to was it not, where it refers to the proceeds from the sale of the land, is yes, it was. In thine own power, where thine own is, your singular and emphatic suggests under your control to do with as you chose, in the sense of at your disposal. It was his land, he sold it. He received money in exchange for his land. The money was his. He could do with it whatever he wanted to do. He could give none of it. He could give half of it. He could give all of it. We don't know what percentage he gave, but he gave some of it. It was at his disposal. It was his choice to what he would do with it. Peter then asked Ananias a third question. Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Verse 3, Peter asked, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? Although Peter recognized the role of Satan in what Ananias had done, he assigns the responsibility for this sin to Ananias himself. Although Satan influenced Ananias to attempt this deception, he did not force him to do so. Whenever you do wrong, whose fault is it? It is yours. Satan did not make you do it. You are responsible for your own actions. Whenever I do wrong, whose fault is it? It's not my wife's fault. It's my fault. Satan did not make me do it. I am a big boy now and am responsible for my own actions, just like all of you, except some of you are not big boys. Okay, I recognize the difference. Your hair gives it away, all right? Why is the translation of two words in the Greek text which are understood in the sense of why is it that? Why is it that thou hast conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou is you singular, it starts with T. Thine is your singular, it starts with T. And both are used in reference to Ananias. Why is it that you put, placed, or contrived, or came to think of this thing in your heart? Hast conceived has been translated in a way which emphasizes the result of its action. This thing is this matter or this deed. In thine heart, which refers to Ananias, suggests deep within you. Here's something that modern English does not necessarily understand. People think of the heart as the place of the emotions. Well, that's true in modern English, but in ancient Greek times, it was the bowels that were the seat of the emotions. Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? The heart, in Bible times, was the organ of thought, in Hebrew, thinking. It's illustrated by Proverbs 23:7, which says, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee. In thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God, thou is you singular, and refers to Ananias. When compared with why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost, in verse 3, thou hast lied unto God, clearly indicates that the Holy Spirit is God, not some impersonal force. Hast not lied is did not lie, and it's been translated in a way which emphasizes the result of its action. Thou hast not lied unto men, meaning to men. Men's the generic term for humanity and includes females as well as males. But introduces a statement in strong contrast to thou hast not lied unto men, which suggests, but you lied unto God. You lied to God, the Holy Spirit. Verse 5, by the way, he sure got the message, didn't he? Look at verse 5. It reports that after Peter spoke, Ananias died. Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. And great fear came on all them that heard these things. And continues the narrative, but takes it in a slightly different direction in the sense of now. In the Greek text, Ananias functions as the subject of gave up the ghost. He, Ananias, is also the one who hears Peter's words and falls down. Hearing is used in conjunction with the verb translated gave up the ghost, and its tense indicates that its action occurred at the same time as gave up the ghost. He heard these words and gave up the ghost, I'm guessing while he was still standing there. It's understood in the sense of while or when hearing, or while or when he was hearing. These words refer to Peter's words in verses 3 and 4. Fell down is used in conjunction with the verb translated gave up the ghost, and it's been translated as indicating a faction in addition to gave up the ghost. What does giving up the ghost mean? It means he lost his life energy completely. We would understand it in the sense of he breathed his last or he died. Well, he fell down. Was he dead before he hit the floor? That's my guess, but I don't know that. And immediately, the result of his death is made known. Great fear came on all them that heard these things. Fear is used in the sense of alarm or a fright. They knew that God had taken Ananias' life. And as a result of his sin, they knew that the same thing could happen to them if they sinned. Great suggests that their fear of God had reached a level they had never previously experienced. Came is understood as indicating that a change took place which had not previously been true in the sense of moved or fell. On all them that heard these things is on all the ones who were hearing these things. So what did they do? Did they have a funeral 3 days later or 4 days later and then have a big ceremony? Oh, no. Verse 6 records the burial of Ananias' body. And the young men arose, wound him up. You might wind somebody up, but not in this sense, all right? You might tease them and to get them all excited, but and carried him out and buried him. And continues the thought, the young men is the younger men. Later on, it's the young men, it's the youths. So they're young. They wound him up. It's in contrast with the older men. They arose or rose up. And it's been translated as in addition, indicating a fact in addition to wound up. And its tense indicates that its action occurred before the action of wound up. Well, they had to get up before they could wind him up. Wound him up, where him refers to Ananias, it's referring particularly to his dead body, suggests that they covered him or wrapped him up by winding something around him. Was it his garment? I don't know. Did they have something special they used, like a rug? Probably not. Who knows what they used? I don't know, but they wrapped him up in something and carried him out, where him refers to Ananias. It's been translated as indicating a fact in addition to buried. Its tense indicates that its action occurred before the action of buried. Of course it occurred before they carried him out. Then they found a spot. Then they buried him. No time was wasted between Ananias' death and his burial. So there was no visitation available to those people at that time. And as we move on, and I've got a blank page on my notes. Now, how did that happen? I do know my printer took 3 pages at the same time. Can you imagine something like that happening? And I've got this same problem happening again, but I've got the notes there. I just have to find it. There we go. I'm 3 hours later. That's not very long. So if he died at noon, this is 3 o'clock. Sapphira entered, unaware that her husband was now dead and buried. She's now a widow, but her widowhood wouldn't last very long. And verse 7 we see, and it was about the space of 3 hours after when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. And continues the thought, but takes it in a slightly different direction in the sense of now. It was, suggests it happened. It came about, or it came to pass, and about is approximately or nearly, so it's not exactly 3 hours, but about that. The space of 3 hours refers to an interval of time between events, his death and her death. In the Greek text, this phrase reads, now an interval of approximately 3 hours came about when his wife, this is Sapphira, when is the word ordinarily translated and, but here it's indicating an expression of time, knowing, which is negated by not, is used to describe wife. Its tense indicates that she was in a state of not knowing what was done. We've often been in that state, haven't we? We have no idea what just happened, even if we were there. Okay, and in about 20 or 30 minutes, you're going to be out of here not knowing what was done. I hope that's not the case. Not knowing the thing which had happened, which is referring, of course, to Ananias' death and burial, came in as entered. In verse 8, Peter questioned Sapphira about the deception she and Ananias had concocted. By asking her if this were really true, Peter made certain of her guilt and gave her a chance to repent of her sin and straighten the matter out before the Lord. But she did not take advantage of this opportunity. You know, if you're going to confront somebody about something, you better know what you're talking about. Here, he clearly knew what he was talking about. She didn't. But he gave her a chance to straighten something out. So if somebody gives you a chance to straighten something out, you might want to take advantage of the opportunity you have at hand. In verse 9, Peter announces to Sapphira that she's going to die just like her husband had died. And Peter said to her, how is it that ye have agreed to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door and shall carry thee out. Seems to me that I skipped something in there. I know I did. And the reason I know I did is because what happened is that she answered the question. Did you sell this property for so much? And it has disappeared from my notes, but I'll bet it's in yours. I hope it is. Good. You can read it. And I'll try to remember what I supposedly wrote. Did you? Oh, looky here. Thank you, grandson. All right. I'm sorry about that. I did not realize that my printer did this to me this morning. I don't think it's ever happened like that previously. Okay, let's see. Here it is. Tell me whether you sold the land for so much. And she said, yea, for so much. And continues the thought, but takes it in a slightly different direction. It's understood in the sense of then or now. And Peter answered unto her, where her is Sapphira. Peter spoke to her, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. Tell me, where me is Peter. Understood in the sense of answer me. Whether it's used to introduce a direct question, it's understood in the sense of, is it really so? Ye sold, ye, Y-O-U is plural. It refers to both Ananias and Sapphira. Why is it? Why is it you traded the land, this piece of ground, for so much? Meaning for so much and no more. He's looking for an exact price. And it's been placed in a position of emphasis in the Greek text, which reads literally, is it really so that for so much and no more the land you sold? And she said, where she is Sapphira, introduces her answer. Yea, yes, for so much and no more. Of course, she was lying just like her husband had lied. By asking her if this were really true, Peter made certain of her guilt and gave her a chance to repent of her sin and straighten the matter out before the Lord. But she did not take advantage of this opportunity. So in verse 9, we see that Peter said unto her, how is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door and shall carry thee out. The feet? Is that all that's there before the door? Oh, no, it's an example of a part being used to represent the whole. The feet belong to some young men who are going to carry you out. It's the young men who are going to come in, not just their feet. And it's not just their feet that are going to carry you out. You understand that. This happens in English all the time and in other languages as well. How is it that you've agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? The Holy Spirit, behold, gets Sapphira's attention. The feet of them which have buried thy husband, thy is your singular, refers to Sapphira. It's an example of a part representing the whole. The feet of them is of all them that heard these things, is the ones who were hearing these things. Verse 6 says, the young men arose and wound him up and carried him out and buried him. Oh, there's my problem. It put the pages in the wrong order. Ah, what do you know about that? Now I know what happened. Sorry about that. I've never had this experience before, and I've only been doing this for 61 years. But I never had a problem with a printer like this. All right. I've done verse 9. I've done verse 10, right? The young men came in, carrying her forth, buried her by her husband. They found her dead. They discovered it. Okay. And the young men, it's a different term from what we saw previously. This is the youths. So it tells you the younger men were not really necessarily adults. They came in and they took her out. They found her dead. They discovered her dead. And carrying her forth, they buried her by her husband. Verse 11 expresses the immediate result of the deaths of Ananias and Sapphira. I'm sorry for my messing that up. I didn't realize. Every time I print books all the time with this thing, and when I take it out of the printer, it's in the right order. But something happened this morning. I wonder what'll happen tonight. Oh, I can hardly wait. Verse 11. The immediate result of the deaths of Ananias and Sapphira, great fear came upon all the church and upon all as many as heard these things. They knew that God had not only taken Ananias' life, but also Sapphira's life as a result of their sin. And they knew that the same thing could happen to them if they sinned. Great suggests that their fear of God had reached a level they had never previously experienced. Came is understood as indicating that a change took place which had not been previously true. It's understood in the sense of moved or fell. Great fear fell upon all the church. It came on all those who had been saved and baptized and were part of the church at Jerusalem, and connects all the church with as many as heard these things. And it implies that as many as heard these things is referring to a group which, although it included all the church, includes others who were not part of the church at Jerusalem. And may be understood in the emphatic sense of indeed upon as many as heard these things. It's news spread around town quickly. The tense of heard indicates that its action was ongoing. As many as were hearing these things, the news spread and it got repeated. Now let's draw this to a close. As we consider the episode regarding Ananias and Sapphira, we should come away realizing that God does not like false pretenses. We must always be careful to be genuine and never to put on performances to impress people. Our lives should always bring honor and glory to the Lord. All that we are, all that we do, and all that we say should be genuine. And we should never be seeking glory and praise for ourselves. We should also realize that we are only one heartbeat away from death if we disobey the Lord. Be careful about thinking that you can get away with things in life. You may find out, like Ananias and Sapphira, that the only thing you got away with was a good reputation. They died because of their sin. Well, I apologize to you for the difficulty with my notes. My printer ran out of paper in the middle of this printing. I put more paper in, and then this is the result. Sorry about it. I apologize. I hope very clearly not to repeat this again. Let's pray. Our Father, thank you that we have this privilege of studying this portion of thy word. Help us to learn from the examples of Ananias and Sapphira that we should always be open and forthright with you, that we should always be open and genuine. And I pray, our Father, that you'll help us to be that way, and I pray that you'll meet the needs of each one who's here, as well as of all of those who are listening over the internet. I pray that each one would be genuinely saved and would live his life faithfully for thee. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.